like to share once more about the covenant. So that is covenant part two. I promise I would. I just started, I haven't finished. And while studying the covenant once more, I discovered one word, and I would like to share that word with you because it means a lot in the Word of God. And I believe it's one of the most important words in the covenant. And it is the covenant word. It is rich of meaning, that word. You will see later. And that word describes God's nature, God's character, God Himself. It is a Hebrew word, I found. And according to your version, the version of the Bible, you will see different meaning of it in English. But it is, that word is the heart of God's. It is the heart of a covenant. It is the heart of the love covenant of God. The word, I don't know really how to pronounce it because it's a Hebrew word, and I tend always to pronounce them in French accent, so I call it Hesed. We spell it H-E-S-E-D. H-E-S-E-D. Hesed. 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 Okay, Hesed. That word at its heart describes the mutual responsibility we have. Because last time when I was talking about covenant, remember we talked about responsibility we have over the other party. A covenant is made with two parties, and I describe what you share and you exchange with the other party. And that word give each one of us a responsibility, a mutual responsibilities. In that covenant, it gives us the right also to enjoy that covenant we made with each other. It's the word which expresses love. We can't miss it because we know God is love. It's a word of relationship between partners. The moment you made a covenant with someone, it describes your relationship with your partner also. It is a word also which, in your relationship, it helps your relationship to work out. It helps you to work out your relationship. Of course, with a human being, and of course, with our relationship with God. That word means loving kindness. It means also mercy, merciful of God, faithfulness of God, steadfastness of God, strength, love. The loving kindness of God, to have these strong meanings, you have to put love, strength, and steadfastness with it. And we will see in a few examples in the Word of God, when suddenly there is a situation where suddenly we see the strength of God is at work, the steadfastness of God is at work, the love of God is at work, because there was a covenant there. And the moment there is a covenant there, the loving kindness of God is at work at that moment. And that word means also God is keeping every word and giving us every blessing which goes with His promises. The Hebrew people, the Israelites, they knew very well that word. They lived with it. It was part of their life. So even between them, they used to make covenant between themselves, and they knew that this word, Hesed, this word, they have to include some elements in that word. A circle of love. They knew love has to be in that word. Mutual caring, provision, protection, all this has to be in that word. And the moment they made covenant with those people or with another tribe, they knew there was love, there was caring, there was provision, there was protection coming from each other. No one will let them down. It gave them really an assurance. When they made the covenant, the people will never let them down. And I mentioned also the word steadfastness. It's part of the relationship we have with the person who made the covenant. Steadfastness means tenacity, firmness of God, to be tenacity, something which doesn't move. Is steadfastness. God it is. And when you know you made a covenant with someone whose steadfastness, you are at peace. And the same word, steadfastness, you link it with faithfulness. So sometimes we find some verses in the Bible where it talks about the steadfastness of God and the faithfulness of God. Let me carry on again before we start opening the Bible. It means also that God is infinitely reliable. We can count on God at any time. He is constant, unchangeable. Let's turn to Psalms 36, verse 5, please. I mentioned the word mercy, merciful of God. You will find whatever the version of the Bible you got. So Psalms 36 verse 5. Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reaches unto the clouds. It's where the psalmist David was expressing that loving kindness. He discovered that loving kindness. The best place is in the Psalms. You will find how David expressed that loving kindness of God, the heart of the covenant, the Hesed. Psalms 92, verse 1 and 2. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning, and thy faithfulness every night. When we understand that word, it gives us something new in our heart. It makes the word of God alive, and we discover, yes, his loving kindness is there, he's faithful in everything. Let's go to chapter 40, still in Psalms, please. Chapter 40. Verse 10 and 11. Psalm. Yes, chapter 40. Verse 10 and 11. Chapter 40. 4-0. So. Verse 10 and 11. I have not hidden thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness in thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. There again, David is describing the heart of God. God is Hesed. When we human beings, men and women, we make covenant with people, We make covenant, it is in order to create loving kindness and to try to hold it in place in order that loving kindness work out until we are one of the parties dead. But with God, it's not the same. God is not going to lock himself into a type of let's create something. He's not going to lock himself into acting in love toward us. He didn't create loving kindness because he is already loving kindness. But the covenant he made with us, it was in order to show us, for us to see his heart of loving kindness, a loving kindness heart for all eternity. For this reason, he made that covenant. Without that covenant, we cannot sense it. We cannot receive that loving kindness. Even before we made that covenant, we knew from all eternity God is loving kindness. We come into a covenant with him. It's not when we discover, we're in covenant with him because he wanted to love someone. No, he was already love. He was already loving kindness. It's part of his nature. It is him, God, loving kindness. But the moment we come in contact, in covenant with him, it is at work in our life. Chesed is also mercy, a merciful of God. In some version, it translates mercy, merciful, mercies in plural also. And he described to us a bit about what I shared the first part. When you come in covenant with someone, when you make covenant with someone, you need to exchange something. It has to be equal. But here with God, when he makes covenant with us, it is an unequal covenant. Because we've got nothing to exchange with God. Nothing good really to exchange. So it becomes an unequal covenant. And when we realize this, we come to a place and said, I do not dare telling God what to do because he made a covenant with me and I didn't have anything to exchange with him. And when we see God's mercy through the covenant he made with us, we can only worship God because of his mercy. God the Creator enters into covenant with us, his creature. It was an unequal covenant. There is no equal partnership between God and us. He's full of mercy, he's rich in compassion, and we don't even have a bit of that in order to exchange with him. We got nothing, but he's full of everything. And it is God giving his all to us, to mankind. And we don't deserve it. And we have nothing to offer. But it is his heart he's giving us. God's acts of initiating covenant and then fulfilling every promise made in that covenant is an act of his grace and his mercy. And sometimes, according to your verse, your version of the Bible, as I said, is written loving kindness, mercy, merciful mercies. It comes from that same word, chesed, which comes from the heart of God, the heart of covenant. When Adam and Eve disobeyed God, they cut off from God. There was no pressure behind God in order to seek after mankind. Nothing forced God to seek after us. He could leave us. He said, I created Adam and Eve, and they chose to turn their back from me. That is fine. No, but God chose freely to save us. Why did he do that? Because of his nature. Because of his loving kindness, that unconditional love. In that covenant, We are the weakest party in that covenant. But he allowed us to ask. He allowed us to open our heart, to come boldly to him. He allowed us to come and receive because of his loving kindness. We are the weakest party in that covenant, but he allowed us to seek protection from him, and he's ready to protect us, to bless us, to care. It is of his loving kindness. But sometimes we forget about all this. We come to God like a dictator. We dictate our terms and conditions to God. And we try to tell him when and how to bless us, when to bless us, how to bless us, how for his promises to come to pass into our lives. Sometimes we don't need to go through that. His loving kindness is there just to do his work. We just need to learn to let the loving kindness of God to work in our life. We need to understand the covenant act of God. Let's go to Exodus chapter 34, please, verse 6. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. And I realize in the Old Testament, you will find that the meaning of that word he said 250 times only in the Old Testament. It was so important for the people of Israel, for the prophets. It was so important for them, that word. They took hold of it in everything. They cried to God in everything. They knew God will never fail them. Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 17, please. Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 17. Let's talk about the Levites who are rebellious about God, against God, but we can see miracles, God's mercy at work in the wilderness. Verse 17, and refused to obey. I don't want to read a bit further, but you will read it later. And refused to obey, neither were mindful of their wonders that I did among them, but hardened their necks, and in their rebellion appointed a captain to return to their bondage. But thou art a God ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and forsookest not them not. What did he do? He just reminded, Moses just reminded about his character, about his nature. He told God exactly what was going on. We sin against you, but I remind you about your kindness, about your long suffering, about your compassion, about your loving kindness, God. Psalms 103. It's a really nice one. Verse 8. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. That is our God, the one we serve. the one we made covenant with, it is our God. That His seed word is our very existence. Our existence arises from that word. Creation existed also through that word, arises from that word. The law God created for that word, for that universe to work, is around that word, His seed. And which means everything is enwalled with the loving kindness of God, His mercy. Turn to Psalms 136. It's a long psalm, and nearly every verse says His mercy endureth forever. He will never cease, never, never. His loving kindness endureth forever. Verse 5-9. And to Him that by wisdom made the heavens, for His mercy endures forever. To Him that stretched out the earth above the waters, for His mercy endures forever. To Him that made great lights, for His mercy endures forever. The sun to rule by day, for His mercy endures forever. The moon and stars to rule by night, for His mercy endures forever. To Him that smote Egypt in their firstborn, for His mercy endureth forever. We can see the describing of everything with the people of Israel, how His mercy was at work, how His loving kindness was at work. Even they rebelled, but God couldn't change. He is unchangeable. When we humans, we break that covenant, but the mercy of God, His loving kindness, reach out to us and bring us back automatically because it's part of His nature. Let's go to Isaiah 54. He talks about it. Verse 8 to 10. In a little while I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness, that is that word, will I have mercy on thee again, says the Lord thy Redeemer. For this is as the waters of Noah unto me, for as I have sown by the waters of Noah, should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee, nor rebuke thee. For the mountains shall depart, and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee. Neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, says the Lord that has mercy on thee. There we can see how God's, the nature of God, how He talks to us, to really encourage us. He will never change. We turn our back to God, He won't. God will never turn His back to us. The people of Israel, even when Jerusalem, the city was destroyed, they burned the city, they destroyed the walls of Jerusalem, they took captives those people in Babylon, but there was one prophet He stood on. On that loving kindness. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 22 and 23. Let's read it. Or is it Lamentations? Lamentations of Jeremiah. Yeah, Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22 and 23. He was able to renew His mind when He remembered God's kindness, God's nature, and He could say, "This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because of his compassion fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. And it's that he reminded himself of God's nature, God's character, God's mercy, compassion. Even in time of trouble, where there was no hope, the people of Israel kept on going with God. There is one example. I mentioned it. No, I don't think so. I mentioned that one. It's about David. David knew he made a mistake. He stole someone's wife and he killed her husband. God sent a prophet to David. And God did it because of his loving kindness. He loved David. He could just said, present himself to David and said, "You did that and you die." No, God sent a prophet to David to open his eyes and for David now to take a decision. And David took the best decision. He didn't live under the law. Because according to the law, he should be dead, stone, dead. But what did he do? What did he do? He reached out to that love, loving kindness of God. And let's read it in Psalms 51. David expressed it very well in Psalms 51. Verse 1. He didn't want to die. He knew he sinned. He asked God to forgive him. But the sentence of, according to the Mosaic law, was death. What did he say? He said, "God, have mercy on me. God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions." God couldn't say no to David. It was impossible. He couldn't say no. Because David had understood the covenant. He held on that covenant. God couldn't. Saul could do the same. Saul didn't. Saul wanted, just what he wanted was to be famous, for people to know him and to be a king and be famous. He never reached out to that covenant. And the law, the Mosaic law, killed him, destroyed him. But David, when he knew he was in trouble, every time, if we read the Psalms, every time he's in trouble, he reminds God about his covenant, his loving kindness. And it's what we have to do. That loving kindness is always there. Another one in the Old Testament, I mentioned a little bit last time, is about Gideon. In Joshua chapter 9, when they entered into the promised land, they destroyed Jericho. They move on. The second town, they destroyed it. And what happened? The Gideonites arrived. They heard about what God is doing with the people of Israel. And they are thinking, "We better do something quick. If not, they destroyed us." And they came to the people of Israel and they lied. They deceived them. But also, one thing, they knew about covenant. They heard about covenant. They could see how God is working with his people because they were in covenant with God. So they were thinking, if we could be in covenant with that people, we will be saved. So how can you do it? So they have to cheat, they have to lie and deceive the people of Israel. So they made a covenant with the people of Israel. And the thing is, what they knew, if they make covenant with the people of Israel, they are automatically partners with the people of Israel, but they are partners with God. So which means they are partners with God, they are in covenant with God. That's it, just what we need. So they made the covenant and they left Joshua smiling. They went back home. And what happened when they went back home, of course, they told their people about it and the news spread it all around. And the Canaanites heard about, which were their brothers, and they heard about it and they were angry with them because they betrayed their own brothers. They made a covenant with their enemies. We could be together
and fight together the Israelites. No, you betrayed us and you went and made covenant with our enemies. So now we are going to destroy you. So then Canaanites, they came together and they were ready to go and destroy the people of Gideon. And there they call upon Joshua. They said, come and save us. Come and help us. We are in trouble. And there the loving kindness of God took place. Joshua turned to God. Let's turn to Joshua chapter 9 and chapter 10, please. Because it's described very well. Chapter 10. Joshua called upon God, because the first time he realized he made a mistake. They didn't ask God anything. They just made a covenant. But this time he's aware he has to turn to God. Verse 8. And the Lord said unto Joshua, fear them not, for I have delivered them into thy hand. There shall not a man of them stand before thee. That is a covenant partner talking. So Joshua left and went to battle with assurance they are going to win. Let's look verse 12 and 14. He's doing the fight. Look at what is happening. Something which never happened. The greatest miracle after the resurrection of Jesus. I think that is the second miracle in the word of God. He was so sure about his covenant with God. And God said to him, not one will stand before you. So he can see it's time now to go home for tea and there are some more left to kill. So he said, we better do something. And verse 12 said, then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, son, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and Thamun in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed, until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven, and hasted not to go down about a whole day. And there was no day like that before it or after it, that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. That is the covenant who is doing that work. The loving kindness of God is at work. God could say, no, they deceived you, let them pay. But the loving kindness can't work this way. God has to do it. The goal of Hesed. Why Hesed? What is that goal? Hesed is the goal of salvation, a covenant, a salvation covenant for every one of us. And when we come in our time, we found that loving kindness for Jesus. We need to reach out to that loving kindness. God put it in Jesus. Jesus is the Hesed of God now. It is Him who does the doing, the showing, the keeping. It is Jesus who makes sure the covenant, the promises are kept, is working. It is Jesus who is showing us God's covenant, God's heart every day. It is through Jesus we find that covenant, that loving kindness flowing down. When Jesus' mother, Mary, received the news that he's going to carry the Savior of the world, what did she say? Let's read it in Luke chapter 1. The people of Israel, what they could talk about was God's loving kindness, God's mercy, God's compassion. They had everything to praise God for because of his loving kindness, his compassion, his mercy. Chapter 1, please. verse 54 and 55.
Yeah. What did she say? Yes.
She could remember God's mercy, kindness. And she said in verse 54, He, talking about God, He has opened His servant Israel in remembrance of His mercy. That means, Father God, You haven't forgotten us with Your mercy and Your loving kindness. As He spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever. She just reminded that her song, her prayer, Oh, thank You, God, You didn't forget us. Your loving kindness, Your compassion, Your faithfulness is coming. Another one did the same was John the Baptist's father, when God told him also about his son. Same chapter, but verse 72. What did he say? He knew why God was doing that. He said, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember His holy covenant. They knew about it, the people of Israel. They knew God will never forget them. One day, God will manifest Himself through Jesus, His Son. Let's carry on. Verse 76. And that child shall be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare His ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto His people by the remissions of their sins. Through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high has visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. They was expecting something very great, that loving kindness. We know that Jesus is the seed of God. We cannot miss Him because He lives in us. Which means the loving kindness of God is in us. Amen. We just need to reach out to it every day. He's steadfast, unchangeable. He's there at all time. He's strong in love. God made the way for us for the blood of His Son Jesus. There was no other way. Loving kindness came into flesh, dwell among us, and lives in us now. Loving kindness is there, and make sure that every promise of God is fulfilled in our life. And He makes sure also He's the personal guarantor. Everything fell in our part. Is there to pick it up, to arrange it, to bring it to God, to intercede to us. Yeah. It is His part. Yeah. When I studied that, He gave me another picture of the Word of God. The Word of God became alive, powerful, and it just clicked in my mind. Oh, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. The Word of God is alive, powerful, sharper than any double-edged sword. Why? Because of Jesus. Because of God's nature in Him. Because of that loving kindness. Because of His mercy, His compassion never fail. He will never fail. We will turn our back. We will doubt. But He will remind us of His faithfulness. Why do you doubt me? While I'm always been faithful. I will never change. I'm unchangeable. Don't doubt about my love. Don't doubt about my compassion. And the things that realize, the things which make us doubt, is time. The enemy is playing with our time. We became impatient instead of letting the loving kindness work in us. Reach out to it in a bad time. We don't have, nothing had happened, I suppose, happened to us, what happened to David with Bathsheba. But he was able to reach out to the loving kindness of God under the Old Testament, under the law. And the Word of God says we got a better covenant. A better one than David. But David went beyond that covenant he had, the old covenant. He reached out to our own covenant. If David was able to do it, we are able to do it. Don't let time, the enemy, use our time and say, God, do it quick. Just let the loving kindness of God to do it. While studying that word, you know, sometimes you study something, you receive a revelation about it, and suddenly the things has to work in our life. And there we feel the pressure. We feel something, doubt. We don't understand what is going on. And it's what happened to me. I was thinking, God, what is going on? Is it because I'm studying that? Help. And I could see God's hands. And sometimes the last moment, and I thought, I'm going to try again. And I'm going to wait the last moment. Because in this world, everything works with money. In that society, if you don't have money, you are nothing. And I thought, I'm not going to be trapped in that society. Because they want you to follow the system, but at the same time, they want to control you. And I decided, I said, God, it's over. I don't want the society to control me. And 2 months ago, God told me about Abraham. He said to me, for Abraham's covenant or Abraham's blessing to work in your life, you will have to cut off with the world system and connect yourself with my system. And it's really, when I heard that, when God told me this, it really encouraged me to study Abraham's covenant. And from that time, I decided, I said, God, I want to cut off with the world system. But how? Help me. It's tough, but we have to do it. And I found myself in trouble financially. I said, I don't care. Things we think about, rent, food, bills to pay. I said, I don't care. Whatever they do, they can take whatever they want, but I stand on it until the last moment. And last month, God talked to me last month. I heard a voice, and he said to me, you are too expensive to us. I heard that voice, and I knew it was a man's voice, and I knew which office said that. And I thought, I can see why. I could see why. But I never dealt with that thought. I just left it. And a week later, that thought manifested itself. And I was on the phone. The man said to me, I can't give you that job today, and you are too expensive to us. And he didn't. I heard it, but that was it. He said to me, I'm sorry. I said, it's okay, it's fine. And I put the phone down. And he clicked in my mind. I thought, I heard that voice. I heard that voice. And suddenly I said, God, you told me that before. And I became mad. I said, what? I'm too expensive to you. That is true. Because I'm not part of your system anymore. And there I discovered, yes, I cut off with your system. I'm not part of your system. Because in my system, God's kingdom, we are too expensive to you. I thought, guy, you will be in trouble. You are going to sign on a job center very soon. Don't be in front of me. And I claimed that job for 2 days. Every time I was thinking about it, I'm thinking, you're in trouble. Don't say that to me. I'm too expensive. And I just claim it. I said, that job is mine. In the name of Jesus, I'll do it. Three days later, I received an envelope. I never seen an envelope so big. I think it was an A3 envelope, and they put an A4 paper inside of it. I don't know how the postman passed it through the letterbox. And I opened it. It was the job. And I thanked God for it. I said, in Jesus' name, I've got it. The day before I had to go to do that job, the office called me. This time it was a woman. She said to me, Anne, are you free tomorrow? I said, I'm not, because I've got a job. You gave me a job. And I told her where. She said, strange, who gave you that? I said, you gave it to me. You sent it to me. And it clicked in my mind, my angel. I thought, big angel, big envelope. Yeah, I know why. She was talking to me, but the only thing she could say, strange. Strange. I said, yes, yeah, strange for you, but it's mine. She cannot understand how the job arrived to my house. She can't understand. She said to me, who gave it to me? I said, you gave it. I thought, no, I shouldn't say that. I should say, my angel gave it to me. But they didn't know, because I claimed it. And he said, I'm too expensive for them. I said, God, you need to work on something. Last week they called me. I said, what? She said to me, can you go to Liverpool for us? I said, no. I got a more expensive work. I had two. I took the more expensive one. I said, that is God working. And I realized, since I started to study the covenant of God, and I discovered the loving kindness of God, He will never fail me. He will never fail me. The job center said to me, bring all your paperwork. I said, I got nothing for you. They said to me, we are sorry, bring me all your uniforms. I said, I got nothing for you. They said, and we are sorry, if in a week time you don't bring your invoice or your pay slip, we cut it off. I said, cut it off. I'm not coming to see you. I never went. Tried everything. They got me again. They said to me, I think it's because you are earning more than you should. And I said, yes, because you should control me. You wanted to control me, to tell me how much I should earn on earth, and the earth belongs to the Lord, and I'm heir with God. I said, you won't see nothing. And they cut me off. I said, that is fine. That is the second part. And I'm still waiting for more. I want to cut off with them. And I know when I cut off with the world system, God's way, automatically I connect myself with God's system, with the kingdom of God. Because it's what He said to me to do. I don't know how to do it, but God makes the way, and faithfully, without doubting, I apply the word of God in it. And I said, that's it, one more. And I can't see myself moving up. And I say, thank you, Lord. It's not an easy thing when you know the world around you influence you on every part. But the word of God says in Isaiah chapter 1 verse 19, if you are willing and obedient. And when that verse came to my mind, my spirit, I said, I have to be willing. If I'm willing and obedient, I leave the rest for loving kindness. The loving kindness of God will work in it. It's got a way to work. And I said, I think it was last week, I said to Andrew, I don't understand the way He works in my life to perform His plan, to accomplish or fulfill His plan and purposes in my life. He does it His way, and I just need to be obedient, willing, obedient. And on Friday, I just came back from work. I did a bit of shopping, and I was just so tired, ready to cook and eat. The hospital called me. They said to me, can you come and interpret for your friend Mary? And because we are going to operate her. So I went there, and I thought, if I go there, you better give me something to eat, because I haven't eaten. I said to the woman, can I have something to eat, because I just come from work? They don't give you a piece of bread. And I thought, so I was willing to do it. And I found some friends who were waiting there. And a doctor came explaining how they are going to operate Mary. And of course she was frightened. She started to cry. And we were about six of us with her. And there is one guy. He looked at the doctor. He said,
we are going to pray for you to be successful in that operation. The doctor said, oh, thank you very much. I look at him, I said, yeah, you really need it. So when he left, and I said, all of us, we said, let's pray together. And we were able to just join hands together and pray for that operation. And they called me again yesterday afternoon, and I went to the theater. They said to me it was a success. The operation was a success. And I really thank God for that. And that is God at work. And I don't do it for money. I just go freely and do it for my friend. I've been doing that for 2 weeks, going every day to hospital. And it was a pleasure, really, to see God at work among those people. And sometimes I say, Lord, I don't know how you do it in my life, but I'm willing and obedient. And it's only this way I can eat the fruit of this land. It can be England, it can be any land, but it is God's land. I'm heir with God and co-heir with Jesus. I have part of this land also to inherit, but we need to be healing and obedience to God. Thanks, God.